Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Doing the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair, George William, Trombley Birchall, and we are the guys from Dabs. You might know us from Dabs, the podcast where two dads try to get abs.
This is an idea that I am semi-seriously suggesting to Alistair, that we become guys trying to get abs before they turn 40. And also trying to interview Brad Pitt.
Yeah, we're going to try and get Brad on the show.
Brad's abs. Trying to get Brad on the show and trying to get him to rub the microphone against his belly, his abdomen area. And so we can actually have Brad's abs, Brad's on the show.
Oh, so we want the abs on the audio program. Not necessarily Brad. Do we want him to talk, or do we just want him to rub the mic on his abs?
I mean, I think in a way it would be a more truthful and greater artistic statement, which is also what we're going for with this, to have him rub his abs on the microphone. That's all. That's the only component.
Okay. That's cool. And then I guess if ever Brad Pitt did send us in the sound, we would have to do a lot of a fairly in-depth sort of forensic studies of the sound to ensure that it really is that. And he's not just sort of thrown the mic on the couch. Okay. Or...
So we believe that it is Brad. We believe that it is Brad. But what we're questioning is what he's rubbing the microphone against. That's what we have our doubts about. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think we'll know if it's from Brad. We'll know.
Yeah, great. Imagine it's the real Brad, but fake abs.
And when you know, this is Hollywood. This they all got body doubles. It's all stunts. You know, it's all illusions.
Sure. But
Brad Pitt is an illusionist. Anyway, so this is the show where we come up with five sketch ideas, and we're going to be.
Doing a little bit of that today. Before the episode, Alistair, you were talking about the peculiar mental arithmetic of buying a new baby seat for your car and looking at the safety ratings of them and comparing that against their relative prices and working out.
So that's right. Well, so the Safe and Sound Platinum Pro is got a protection score of 4.2 when it's forward facing out of 5. But it is $700. And then there's this one here, which is 3.8. protection score, and it's the Infa Secure Quattro Astra, but it is only about $300. Yeah. Oh, $400, but still it's down from $650. So
this is my pitch for a sketch idea, Alistair, right? And it's one of your classic sketches. It's a website, and you can go to this website and sort of like you would work out, I guess, like what your total repayments would be on a mortgage, you know, over the lifetime of the mortgage. What this thing does is you basically have to tell it, you plug in the safety rating of a baby seat and the cost of the baby seat. And it basically tells you how many hours you would have to drive with your baby in the car before the risk of your baby dying horribly in an accident outweighs the saving that you would make, and on buying a cheaper thing. Like, you know, maybe you can make them go head to head, or maybe it's more like something for comparing superannuation funds.
Well, I mean, there could also just be it's just an ad for car seats, and as the guy goes down the ratings, you know, he's like, you can get this ultra pro model, right? And it's a 5-star rating, blah, 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 like that. You know, but for those, you know, who are a bit more budget conscious, you can get this one. If you think that maybe your baby could withstand a car crash.
Yeah.
You know, like, I guess as you get to the bottom, essentially you're saying, now, your baby is going to fly out of this seat. So, well, if you think that you're a particularly good driver and your baby can could withstand maybe one head trauma.
I think what would be great, because very often in those crash test scenarios, we see the crash test dummies driving the car. We see the crash test dummies crashing the car. But we don't see the
baby driving.
A crash test dummy father and a crash test dummy mother then having an argument about how the crash test dummy father cut costs and got a cheaper baby seat. And I think for us to be informed consumers, it's not enough for us just to see how they behave in an accident. It's that we need to be able to see how easy it is to justify your choices afterwards if something does go wrong. And, you know, and for different, that might be different for different models. So I'd like to see, I guess this is going to be really grim, probably the grimmest thing we've ever said, but I'd like to see grieving test dummies where those who survive in the form of test dummies sit around a dinner table or, you know, go to a memorial service for a dead crash test baby. And I'm saying this, these words are coming out of my mouth. And then, you know, we see how they deal with that grief. And I'm not sure if it's possible to get some sort of emotional impact sensor that could be strapped to their medulla oblongata. I don't know what that is, but it's a fun thing to say.
It feels stupid to not test these things on a dummy.
Exactly. You know,
so there should be like at least sort of one of those stress ball brains in there and see how it affects that emotionally. Because I think if it affects the stress ball brain really badly emotionally, you probably can assume
exactly
it's going to affect a real functioning brain.
Imagine what would that be like on a real brain. Yeah. We don't know. As I say, we don't know. We don't have enough data to see whether or not the loss of a child actually does hurt people.
You would assume that, you know, even if one of these car seats has a sort of a 1 rating, there must be like a minimum standard, right? In which everything is still pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Like, I mean, they can't just have like, they can't be like, oh, here's a couple of rubber bands and a, you know, like a bandana to just tie your kid's head back and strap it to the back of the, you know, the headrest.
Yeah, an hockey strap. An hockey strap that goes around the forehead. You clip it together at the back of the seat. You know what? This is actually sounding pretty safe.
Yeah. Well, I know. That does actually seem like if it was around the head like that, the head still has a little bit of forward movement ability.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, there's that problem where it goes forward and then gets slammed back.
I mean, in my mind, what would probably be the safest would be a kind of like, I guess like an alien goo. Or, you know, in Men in Black, when they go into the morgue and that guy's been stuck to the roof with goo and it's dripping down. You know that scene? Yeah. I guess another way to describe it would be like one of those glue-based Men in Black. One of those goo-based rat traps, right? I think the safest thing for your kid in an accident would be to smear the seat with a kind of rat glue and press the child into it. And then they're not going anywhere. They're adhered all the way up their back.
Well, I mean, if you just put them in a tub, if the whole seat was just a tub.
Yes.
But their head would have to be out of it.
Well, maybe just their nostrils or the top of their head.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you put their mouth in there, I guess they wouldn't complain while you drive. But I think, I don't think you want your kid to drown in goo. I think that's an equally bad thing.
Sure, I agree.
Unless there's like a tub of goo that they can fall into as there's impact. But I think even that, then suddenly their head is immersed in goo.
Mm.
So you, as you're recovering from the car crash, and assuming that you do,
yeah.
Like, I mean, in the moments after it, like mentally getting your bearings again.
Yeah.
You have to then remember to go get your kid,
get the kid out of the goo,
so that it's not doesn't drown in there.
I know we talk about non-Newtonian fluids a lot on this,
yeah.
but really the seatbelt yeah. is sort of the belt version of a non-Newtonian fluid, where like you can move it, you can pull it out yeah. if you pull it slowly, but if you try and yank it, it goes grabs on. It's an
now,
interesting.
I know of biomimicry where we, you know, like where engineering tries to replicate things, you know, solutions to problems that they find in nature. But have you ever seen something, you know, I'm not sure exactly what this is. Is this like geomimicry? Is this a sort of chemo mimicry here?
Well, I think it would make sense to have your kid in a big tub of yogurt or of custard, that you would travel with your kid in a big tub of custard. And then when you crash, that custard solidifies around the kid,
yeah,
locking them in place.
Leaving just their head free.
Just their head free.
Above it.
Yeah.
To yep. just to slam forward.
To flop wildly.
Yeah.
But I think that'd be fine. I think that'd be okay.
Yeah.
And
I think what we need is one of those containers that they put you know, action figures in. It's just molded to your body. And their arms and everything like that are all in there, including the head, but it's kind of porous, like a you know, like a noodle strainer.
Yeah, a colander.
A colander.
Yeah.
And then really wanted to keep your kids safe, like yeah. that, you would probably put them in some kind of like colander tomb.
Full body colander.
Yeah.
I like my custard idea.
No, I like it too. I still think it just has that drowning and the neck is not supported in any way.
Sure, but that's the case at the moment with seatbelts, you know?
Yeah, right.
I guess though, yeah, you're right in this case. It might even stop them quicker. No, I think this could be the safest thing.
No, but you don't have any side stuff. You don't have any side protection.
Yeah, but similarly, you know, if you get whipped sideways, oh, you mean on either side of the head because of those little things that come out in the...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Unless maybe we could have some things that's quickly release custard. That squirt custard.
Some custard dunes.
Yeah.
Dunes.
Exactly.
Well, something to think about.
It is.
These are definitely, you know, some great ideas for baby seats.
Great sketch ideas.
But we'll.
Have you written down grieving crash test dummies?
Yeah, I've written grief test, but I've kind of all put it in the one place.
Okay,
baby
sure,
seat
sure,
ratings.
Sure. Now, what about this?
Lower ratings, grief test.
You're gonna love this. Yeah. Crash test Smarties, right? Crash test Smarties, and what these are?
Little chocolate. Things.
Covered in a sort of a sugar.
Sugar
coating.
Thing, and you see how they withstand sort of running into a four you know an 18 wheeler at 100 kilometers an hour.
So a crash test Smartie, I believe, would probably be a dummy who maybe doesn't get in the accident in the first place.
But it's a dummy that we've made that is smarter than a person.
I think so. Yeah, I guess so.
So maybe they you know, so they say, here is, we've done it with a crash test dummy, and this is a, you know, they were headed to the prom, driving their children to the prom, and they got into a collision at, you know, 60 miles per hour, and blah, blah, blah. And then these are, and when we did the same test with crash test Smarties, now these kids actually...
These ones never actually had children.
They didn't have children, and they're
focused on their
really
careers.
Good life, yeah. And they, so instead, they are currently at home, finishing off their PhDs. And, I don't know, making you know they're making a video for their OnlyFans. you know, they're getting sort of you know roughly $2,500 a week just on OnlyFans.
Wow, that is smart. That is the smartest thing you could do.
Whilst finishing a PhD.
Mm. No.
They're already investing in research for their future.
They have a plan, a sort of a trajectory marked out there. They're already ticking off milestones. They're not going to be doing OnlyFans forever.
They might be.
Yeah.
Because I think as long as people want to watch.
Now, what about this, right?
Yeah.
Only haters, okay? And it's a website where you put up videos of yourself experiencing the opposite of pleasure and having a generally bad time. And people who dislike you intensely can pay a monthly fee to get exclusive access to videos of you being upset, eating bad food that you don't enjoy the taste of, that kind of thing. I think, you know, the hate ecosystem is rich on the internet, and it's a shame to not try to monetize that in some way. You know, the people who are the victims of the hate in a free market economy should have access to a platform that allows them to get money from the work that they do. You know, they control the means of production. And in this case, it's the production of sort of stress and anger hormones in the brains of those that dislike them.
I worry that people would,
pirate that content, not pay for
pirate
it.
My content, and not pay for it, because they don't care about me.
I think that we can trust. If there's one group of people we can trust.
They'd start a Facebook group and they'd just share it with each other. They'd only have one account.
Oh, I mean, you're very cynical. Still. You're very cynical, Alistair. I think that's a shame that we're at that point.
Yeah, I apologize.
Well, maybe we have some very powerful type of digital rights protection on this.
Oh, that's a good idea. We could get Metallica involved to maybe Metallica, stop us from...
Metallica are some of our biggest
supporters. Clients. They gave us some angel funding at the beginning.
Angel investors, ironically.
Angel, yeah.
I mean, if anyone was going to be a demon investor, a devil investor... Mm.
A demon in the sack investor.
Is that a thing? Is that an expression people refer to? A demon in the sack?
I think so. Mm. Demon in the sack? Is that not an expression?
I've never heard it. But
well, oh, I feel like you have.
What about a crusty demon in the sack? Is that anything?
Like as in like one of those guys who rides a motocross.
Yeah.
What is a demon in the sack? This is from slangdefined.org. Very good in bed. Basically, an excellent shag. I took this fit bird home last night. She was a demon in the sack.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I comprehended your meaning immediately. So,
yeah, I can go to another website and see if there's any. There's mobiledictionary.reverso.net. A demon in the sack. Reverso dictionary. Well, a demon is an evil spirit or devil. Or a person, habit, obsession, thought of as a devil, cruel or persistently tormenting. Sack. Sack is a slang term for the male scrotum.
Whoa! Okay, this is taking a turn.
Well, I think that one didn't have demon in the sack together.
Right.
They just defined demon and then sack.
Yeah, we lost the sense that meaning... is sort of greater than the sum of its parts very often.
Yeah. Although there's a
demon in
the
sack. Wow.
Yeah, had to have a demon in your sack.
Is this a product that we could sell, right?
Yes, as well, yeah.
It's a kind of an additive, I guess, or something that you would drink or...
You add to wine so it takes out the... It neutralizes the preservatives?
No, that wasn't it. But you could add it to wine, possibly. Or you could get it injected directly into your scrotum. And all it does, basically, is it carbonates your ejaculate. So it comes out sort of fizzy.
Yeah.
Like sparkling
water. And
do you
think it makes it go faster?
Yeah. I think it would have added pressure to it, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think your
fizz jizz would be? We'd call it.
Yeah. I mean, those bottles of carbon dioxide are pressurized. So would that mean that
what effect would that have on the scrotum?
On the scrotum, right? Would it just be really inflated,
like taut, sort of at maximum? Really taut.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe. I guess I haven't thought this through, and I retract.
But I mean, I think if you were to decide on not having kids anymore, you could get at least one testicle replaced with a sort of a metallic canister.
Mm. Yes. Yes, you could.
And it wouldn't be that hard to put a little zip into the side.
A little,
of the...
sort of a little nang.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Just like that, but maybe more even more bulbous, like in a sort of a slightly rounder.
Mm.
For those who are outside of Australia and don't know what a nang is, it's just a, what is it, nitrous oxide?
Nitrous oxide canister that you would use in like a cream, one of those cream dispensers. Is that right?
Mm. Yeah, I don't know why they use them in cream dispensers.
I don't know why you need nitrous oxide.
Nitrous oxide.
To froth cream. Feels
but
like...
But you know what, Andy? Since they shifted to that, they've been selling way more units.
So I guess it must do a great job of frothing cream.
Do you think that that's actually it? Do you think that they could use another compressed gas? But they realized when they moved to nitrous oxide, they just started selling a lot more.
Yeah, I reckon there's a few other things that they could use in those canisters as well that might help increase sales. You know? Methamphetamine. I mean, it turns out that the one thing that really froths cream is...
This is methamphetamine.
About 50 grams of meth.
Of compressed sort of aerosoled meth. Aerosoled meth?
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Oh,
that's what froths cream.
That's what froths cream.
We're here near your company. It seems to be people are using this as a drug. Have you heard about this? Well, that's news to us. We just compress gas.
We just went where the good product was from the point of view of frothing
of
cream.
Of cream frothing.
And if you want us, are you serious? If you're seriously saying that you want the world to not have access to those little cream frother things, frothed cream in a can. I mean, that's your call, but that's going to be on your head. And our fans are really passionate. So.
Not that we know what they're up to. No. I mean, they could be, you know, that much, but we know that they love froth cream.
Yep.
Some of them. Really like it. They get angry when our deliveries are behind.
Is that anything? Is that anything?
Yeah, I'm writing it down. Company that compresses drugs to froth cream.
Absolutely frothing. Frothing.
Frothing.
Frothing. So
you know what I went on a ride the other day.
Yes.
Right? I went on a ride. And
oh, you went to Luna Park?
Yeah.
Did you take your small children on any rides with you? Or did you watch you go on them?
No, the 6-year-old loved all of the rides.
Did you go on a roller coaster?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. We went first thing in the morning. And so Odie was able to go on three times, basically, without waiting.
Whoa. And he... And they loved it.
Yeah. Went on with Indiana twice and then once with me. But then there's this one that... See, so I'm not really good with spinning things, right? These days, if I spin around, I get dizzy and it lingers for a long time.
Yeah,
right?
I can't be spinning.
And I at one point I had fixed it. When I was 23 years old, I bought myself a trampoline. And
no, I didn't know this about you.
You didn't know about this? When I was 23, I was like, I'm going to buy myself a trampoline. And I was living in a share house, and I just popped a big trampoline in the backyard. And I wanted to one day learn how to do a backflip.
Yeah, right.
But then I noticed that, you know, when you try and do that, it's a lot of spinning around. And you start feeling pretty sick. But then, after like a few days of doing that, I didn't feel sick anymore from doing it.
That's interesting.
So I think at some point the ear adapts.
Now,
the inner ear.
Did you ever achieve a backflip?
Yeah, heaps. Yeah.
Was the objective to then take the backflip from the trampoline and just bring it onto level ground and become one of those backflip guys?
You sometimes dream, but I never really saw it as a possibility for me.
Well,
but
maybe we just got season two of the Dabs. We want to be able to do a backflip by the time we're 45.
And we're going to see if we can get
Brad Pitt.
Helena Bonham Carter to do a backflip on Mike.
Oh, it's really good. I can't wait for season three where we get Edward Norton to do something.
Yeah. You know, I didn't even realize she was in Fight Club when I said it.
God.
I was just looking for an odd name.
Well, I really respect that. That's beautiful. I count that as a sort of a symbol from the universe. Yeah,
absolutely. But then that means that season four, we're getting Meatloaf.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm really looking forward to his physical challenge.
No, well, yeah, the physical challenge where he rubs the mic on some part of his body.
And we have to guess what it is. Well, really, he would have to rub it on his boobs, right? If that's...
Helena Bonham Carter doesn't do a backflip in Fight Club, as far as I remember.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't.
It might be in one of the deleted scenes.
Oh, I think a version of Fight Club where instead of fighting, the guys get together in a basement to try and do backflips in front of each other. Is really nice. It feels really wholesome in a way.
Yeah.
I think I feel like, I mean, doing a backflip is such an enormous challenge to me. It's really.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched YouTube videos of people who try to talk you through doing it. Mm. You know, I reckon we could get it done by, you know, especially once we have abs.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, we're going to be in a great position, I think.
I think because I think that'll probably remove a lot of that weight that holds you back from achieving a backflip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that once we have abs, everything in our lives is going to get easier, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's true.
You've got abs.
Absolutely.
Things probably just fall into place.
We'll be getting a lot more photo shoots, do you think?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think that these are personal abs, abs for personal use. I don't think, apart from the fact that we're going to do a live show where we reveal our abs, I like to think that the abs are just for us. A lot of the time people get abs for other people.
Yeah, I think the abs, we just reveal them again on mic.
Yeah, great.
You know?
Rub the microphone against them.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, it's an audio medium. Everybody, you don't want to destroy people's image of what the abs, you know, could be like.
Yeah, in their minds.
And they'll see the abs in how we hold ourselves. You know, it's like, you know, it's like when you're trying to find exoplanets, right? You don't necessarily see the planet
itself. Look for the planet directly. Yeah.
You look at the evidence of the planet. You know, they'll see that there's a good life on abs. You know, just from the way that we carry ourselves, you know, from
our big ab energy.
The way that we block light.
Yeah.
Or don't block light, you know?
Or don't block light, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been blocking a bit of light recently.
Yeah, me too. Tell you what, there's a lot of really cocky light coming from the sun that thinks that it's going to definitely hit some ground, but then, oh, big fella. Has something to say about that, and I stand in its way, and it bounces off me instead.
That's something you don't think about, but every shadow is an eclipse.
Oh, yeah. Partial eclipse.
Partial eclipse.
Partial solar eclipse.
Partial eclipse sink ships. That's what they say.
What were we? Wait, okay, so I was going to tell you about this ride.
Oh, yeah.
So then there's this one ride that is the edgiest ride I've ever been on.
Yep.
Right? Because the pod, and you go in there, so it's a big wheel, like it's a big wheel, and inside there's, on the edges of the wheels, they are dangling underneath. So let's say the wheel is horizontal, and then underneath there's these kind of, you know, sort of spaceship-looking pods that dangle underneath. Mm. They're just a cage, basically, spaceship-shaped cage, but with, you know, a floor that you kind of sit on that's a seat/floor. And there's no seatbelt inside, right? And you can go in with your child in between your legs, and they sit there as well. And then it starts to spin, right? And it starts to spin pretty fast to the point where the ship thing kind of tilts out to the side and is starting to get a bit more like horizontal itself, right? So yeah. It's all G forces, right? And so my thinking was, I know I get dizzy, right? And I actually packed a plastic bag into my pocket just in case. Literally, like, I was like, all right, if I for some reason need to vomit very quickly, I'm gonna whip this out in six, you know, under the force of 3 G's or whatever, and
so vomit very neatly.
And direct the vomit into this plastic bag very neatly.
I like anyway, a man who then, knows himself and knows his limitations.
Yeah, and so then, so firstly, already that was fun, but I was like, if I keep looking forward, I won't get dizzy. But then the wheel starts to tilt, right? So then it starts to go from horizontal to, you know, on an angle, diagonal. And so you're kind of going up and then back down, going until eventually it's basically vertical.
Yeah.
And you're going completely upside down and then
back
down again. So, but remembering that there is no seatbelt in this thing.
Yeah.
So the reason why it feels so goddamn edgy is because it is really just holding you there with G forces.
Mm.
And there's that moment where you're going, when you're going down, you've got both the G forces of this and gravity pushing you down. Mm. Right. So you're like, holy shit, this is, you know, it's a lot of force, right? But then as you go upside down, gravity's pointing the other way.
Yeah.
So then you feel like you're about to hit the roof.
Yeah.
Doom. And I have done that in a carnival ride before when a carny forgot to tie me in.
Jesus Christ.
So, right? And so I was with my brother, and then I was like, and the guy kind of like didn't come around, and I didn't know what this ride was really like, right? But I could see this panic looked on my brother's face as the ride started. I was like, we'll be fine. We'll just use our arms, right? And the first time this wheel went upside down and I saw my brother hit the roof.
Jesus Christ.
I went, oh, I think this, no. This,
oh,
yeah.
We're in trouble.
we're in real trouble. It was only it was only about another minute before the guy running the ride saw us.
Yeah, another minute. That would have been a long minute, though.
A lot could happen.
You could realize a lot about yourself in that minute.
Yeah.
The idea of giving carnies, people who have nothing to lose themselves and have chosen a life deliberately with no safety net. And then putting them in charge of any kind of safety measure whatsoever is...
I think a lot of the time a carny is just somebody who's ridden all the rides and needs a little bit more buzz and needs an even more dangerous ride to go on. And they go, well you can become the guy who operates the thing.
Yep.
You just join the carnival.
Yeah.
It's the wildest ride of all. Is there anything in the idea of a carny being becoming a carny being the wildest ride of all?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think, you know, even the idea of it being sort of almost like a curse that when you have finished all the rides, then you take the mantle. Sort of like, I mean, very like in Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade, when he gets past all of those tricks and traps in on his way into the keeping place of the Holy Grail. He defeats that last knight, and then the knight's like, ah, well, now you're the defender of the Holy Grail. Like, oh, dang.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I don't want that.
And so, but luckily somebody else arrived and they drank from it and turned to stone or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Turned to dust.
Dust.
Mm,
is that because that was not the, was it because it was not the Holy Grail, or was it because
they chose the wrong, they chose poorly. Paulie Shore.
Right. I've just seen him very recently in a, I've been watching a documentary about the Comedy Store, which was run by Paulie Shore's mom.
All right. And he was in it.
Mitzi. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Wow.
Well, you know, he's a very historically important person in terms of the history of comedy in the United States.
I realized the other day, Alistair, that the movie The Wedding Singer is one of the few films where you can describe the plot through a spoonerism of one of the stars' names. Right.
Okay. Wait, Adam Sandler, Saddam Andler.
That's it.
Okay, tell me what it is.
Drew Barrymore, or Drew Mary, Drew Marybore, Drew Marybore.
Oh, there you
go. Is Drew going to marry a boar?
Oh, you know? Drew Marybore.
Question mark? You got to put a question mark in there as well.
Is that a normal part of a
spoonerism?
Yeah, spoonerism.
No, that's an innovation of my own. I added that in.
But would it not be, Brew Darrymore?
Yeah, that doesn't work so well though.
Yeah. But I can see how Drew Marybore is good, and I think it's clever enough. That, oh my God, she's only 46.
Drew Barrymore?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved how that realization hit you hard then. But that is remarkable.
She's been in our lives for so long.
So long.
All right, what's the sketch here? What are we doing with this?
Drew Barrymore.
Do you think that you could make a movie?
Given that that movie that is so successful, that you know, you might try and then revert, think that that's the formula for a successful film, you know, a beloved you know, screen icon. And then you go through various stars and see if there are any spoonerisms of their names that you could then reverse engineer to make the plot of a film that they're in.
All right, so let's try one. Brad Pitt.
Okay. I think, okay, this is going to be tricky, but Helen Mirren, right. Hirren.
Oh, wait. Melon Hirren. So you're picturing somebody's holding a melon to their ear.
To their ear. Okay. Now is that?
Hey. You know, I mean, like, you know, you got to extrapolate, because it's not like Marybore tells you everything.
No,
you
know, no, of course.
You know. But it's, you know, it's maybe somebody's.
But it's tantalizing,
stolen.
Isn't it?
Oh, it is.
I mean, they're holding a big melon up to their ear. That's a great image for the poster as well. You wonder why somebody would do that. We know that, you know, melons are sometimes used in a gender reveal thing.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. Which. You know, what would the best gender reveal of all would be cutting open the melon, and then you just see the baby's inside, and the genitals inside, are exposed.
And everybody looks at their genitals. I mean, this is another infant mortality idea. But, you know, say somebody is going to have a child, and then they lose the child for whatever reason before they do the gender reveal with the melon. They've got the melon ready.
Yeah.
And they instead look after the melon like it's a child. They somehow come to fixate on the melon and try to, for some sort of reason of mental anguish.
Also, they lose the baby, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is a drama, obviously. a drama called Melon-Herod.
Well, you don't have to call
starring
the movie that.
Helen just... Mirren, who thought she was going to have a baby. And then didn't Melon for some reason.
Herod.
Are you writing this down? Has this made
well,
it?
No. I think the, you know, trying to recreate
the through Maribor
of wedding
formula.
singer by finding other coast, you know, because she was like the supporting character in it, right? She's not like the star.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, finding I would call her supporting... the female lead, obviously. Like, I don't think she would be up for, if the wedding singer was included in the Oscars that year, she wouldn't be up for best supporting actress.
No.
She would be up for best actress, right? She's the female lead. That's what that role is. I'd say they're equals, more or less.
Okay.
Even though it's Adam's film.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, you know, she probably didn't do that much of the writing, but I guess on screen, they're the, you know, that describes the plot.
There definitely are elements of, like, isn't it? So I don't know how many of Adam Sandler's films he's actually written, but you can see jokes that he's obviously added into the films. And there's interesting sort of things that recur, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, what is this? Fucking Total Reboot? They were doing a series on Adam Sandler recently. Doing a...
Maribor.
Really good. Listen to Total Reboot's episodes about...
Adam Sandler's.
About Adam Sandler's movies with Drew Barrymore. Maribor. How many sketch ideas do we have, Alistair?
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Great. I mean, one of them's an idea for a really good website, but other than that...
Well, no, I think it's going to be an ad for, you know, a baby seat.
Yeah. No, of course you're right.
You know, company. All right. And then we got three words from a listener. I don't know if you know this, Andy, but we got listeners. Some of them support our Patreon. And that gives them permission. Not the right to send us
but
words.
But also the responsibility.
The responsibility. With great power, which they get from joining the Patreon, they get the responsibility to send us three words that help support the show in terms of finding one more sketch idea.
That's
and
right.
Today's supporting hero is Bjørn Hop. Hello, Bjørn Hop.
Hello, Bjørn Hop.
Bjørn. I think at one point in our conversations, Bjørn told me that it's like earn, like you to earn Bjørn. Money. Bjørn Hop. But they didn't say anything about the hop bit, which is H-O-P-P-E. It could be, you know, I knew somebody from Germany. No, from Holland. And it was a S-I-L-K-E. And you would think it was like silk, but it's silka. Silka.
Yeah,
and the E is not like a, it's not like a, it's not anything on top. It's not anything fancy on top. But, you know, it's just, so it could be hopper.
Hopper.
I don't know.
It's nice.
I don't know. You know what my kid did the other day? Wrote, was writing la, 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 la. And, but I couldn't read it because I didn't know what the second letter was after the L. And they'd spelt it L-H-L-H because it's like, well, there's basically no vowel there. It's just la, 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 la.
Checks out.
And I feel like the H
I love that
should
you're
be used more
raising
like this.
Raising a it's child like, with a similar contempt for the rules of English, as you have.
Yeah, but I mean, I think H should be used more like that as like a, you know, like as an empty space.
Mm.
It's like you go here. There is no vowel, and I'm not going to be forced to put one in. Like,
yeah,
let's say if you wanted to write like, so you say what you're going to say.
Oh, I was just saying H already looks like it's the most structural of any of the letters. Like, it does look like a spacer. It looks like something you would put there to keep two letters apart from each other that you didn't want to touch.
Sure, sure. I mean, structurally, it's one of the strongest letters for keeping two letters apart, at least the uppercase one. Mm. It's essentially an I-beam. Mm. All right. We gotta guess.
I gotta guess these words.
These words, okay. So the Bjorn. First word, you gotta guess it now.
Yeah. Okay. The first word is callistemum.
Callistemum? No, but I don't know anything. But instead, the word is super.
Super. Second word, duper. Super duper.
Andy, the second word is postman. Or postman.
Super postman. Ah, yes. Super postman. Pajamas?
No, Andy. You couldn't be further from the truth. Super postman origin.
Super postman origin. Nice. Now, I have a question for you. What's the movie in which, is it Kevin Costner gets like put into some virtual reality thing and then becomes like a super intelligent transhuman sort of thing? Is that The Lawnmower Man?
I have no idea about that movie.
Yeah, right. But there is also a movie called The Postman, right?
Yeah, I think there is a movie called The Postman.
Because, I mean, really, if The Lawnmower Man had been called The Postman, that would have made sense because he becomes a sort of a post-human. Oh, but look, The Postman is a movie with Kevin Costner, so I don't know what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, but it does... It looks like it's set during the Civil War of America.
Post-apocalyptic, it says.
Oh, no, it says the year is 2013. One man walked in off the horizon and hope, this could be a reference to Bjorn Hope, came with him. Maybe this is what Bjorn was trying to push us towards. Do you think it's really aided the podcast since we've started doing it in front of our computers?
Lawnmower Man. Now, who is in Lawnmower Man? Is that that's not Kevin Costner? No, some other bloke.
That's the other guy.
Right. Wait. But that
starring Jeff Fahey.
Oh, right. But I think that would have been so interesting if that had been.
He plays Job Smith, an intellectually disabled gardener. And Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Lawrence Larry Angelo, a scientist who decides to experiment on him in an effort to give him greater intelligence. The experiments give Job superhuman abilities, but enhance his aggression, turning him into a man obsessed with evolving into a digital being. The film was adapted from an original screenplay entitled Cyber God.
There you go. Delightful. Thanks, Al. I offered nothing there. So anyway, the super postman origin, okay?
Well, now super already means kind of above,
yes,
right? Above and greater than. Post means beyond.
Yeah.
So this is, so if it is super postman.
Above and beyond.
Above and beyond man. Maybe, maybe it's a woman. There we go. No. But, what you got to think. So you got to think what will come after man. Yeah. I mean, what will come after man could arrive tomorrow. It may already be here.
Yeah.
Right? And then a really good version of that is somehow going above what all expectations would be.
I guess a person with like a microwave in their stomach so they can cook food.
Yes. And one in each hand.
One in each hand. Microwave hands. I mean, I do really like the idea of being able to pick up a piece of food, clench my fist, and then open my hand and it's already been cooked.
That would be good.
I think a cooking hand is a really good idea.
Yeah, okay. But now we have to find the origin story.
Because if you put a bit of wire down inside each finger, it could become its own Faraday cage so that when you clench your fist like that, you stop the microwaves from escaping.
From escaping from most of, you know, the area. I feel like that gap around where the fingers kind of curl around.
No, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, there's not going to be a lot of room in there. You're really going to be able to cook a little morsel at a time. Single bean.
Now,
but that's
my,
all right.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could, you know, I reckon you could, you know, I don't know, do like a mozzarella stick or something like that. You could do like you could do, you know, I guess you could take a bite from a hamburger that is cold and put it, then spit it into your hand and then microwave that bite and then eat the warm one. So let's say you're on a McDonald's ad set.
Mm.
And they make you eat one of those disgusting cold burgers that they've, you know, made look really nice. And you, instead of spitting it into a bucket between takes, you spit it into your hand, microwave it. And then enjoy a beautiful, fresh, microwaved McDonald's hamburger. So now, how did this person get this?
Well, I think they would have had to have one of their hands removed.
You know what's funny? It seems like there's very rarely ever superheroes, and I'm saying this with not very much knowledge of superheroes, where they just go, my origin story was that I wanted to become a superhero.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I mean, like, maybe that's Syndrome from The Incredibles?
Syndrome from The Incredibles was definitely the first thing that came to my own mind.
But it is a really interesting idea to have that drive and then to somehow succeed. I mean, that they do, that they're that desperate to become a superhero, and then the thing that they decide to do is replace one of their hands with a microwave.
Yeah. And they build a microwave into their hand. Here's the problem, though. See, like, you know, maybe they will eventually have to replace their hand with a microwave, but I think they've just made their hand able to microwave.
Mm. But you know, because, I also do think it's kind of funny to have somebody with a full microwave on the end of one of their arms, which would give them the power of being able to bash people with this big microwave.
Oh, yeah.
And then and also heat it. Up food.
Have a big, like, backpack with a huge battery.
Yeah. I actually really like this superhero. Yeah.
And a lot of those people who, like, you know, attach electrical devices to themselves refer to themselves as, like, post-human kind of people, you know, cyborg, cybernetic.
No, this is the idea. Microwave
hand.
Microwave hand. You know, now you can... and he said, maybe his catchphrase is... Wave bye-bye. Microwave bye-bye. Wave. You know, something about waving
microwave
bye-bye.
Microwave bye-bye to your beautiful face.
Yeah, when he smashes you in the face with his microwave.
Man, that one arm would get so strong. Their back would get thrown out.
That microwave would get really broken. Probably wouldn't
at some
work
point,
for heating things.
Their back gets fucked up from having just one, you know, always having a really heavy thing on one arm. And then suddenly they have to be pushed around in a stretcher by, like, by their sidekick. And I picture them just lying down. They go, that way! And they point with their non-microwave hand.
The gurney boy.
Gurney boy. And then there's
a gurney man.
You know,
gurney man, gurney, which sounds a bit like gurney. Journeyman. And that's enough for a science fiction, a superhero idea.
And then the hero... And then the hero sort of just, like, you know, rests their microwave hand on their chest while they're riding, and then they lift it up as well and swing at people as they go past.
But they won't be able to see them because they're lying on their back.
I don't know, but they got a couple of pillows. They go, put another pillow under there. Lift my head.
Oh, these are the kinds of ideas that make me laugh because they're so bad. We should be really embarrassed for saying this stuff.
No, this is,
and
like,
that's what I said, buddy.
I want there to be more. I mean, if we have to live in a world with lots of superhero universes, there has to be more that are just not good.
You're right. Okay, Alistair, you want to take us through the sketch ideas?
We got the baby seat rating slash
you know, baby seat ad for these people who are, you know, trying to justify, you know, allowing you to justify buying baby seats with lower ratings in cars.
That's what I need.
Including telling you if you think you've got a tougher baby, telling you if you think you're a better driver. You know, you've got seats that are more justifiable that you could have bought. You know, you can, a seat that has got a low rating, but you can justify it more easily.
It's a kind
if
of a,
something
a,
bad happens.
It's a sort of a handicapped score for the thing, you know, or like a, you know, it factors everything in, gives you an adjusted safety rating.
And they've been grief testing these.
Yeah, exactly.
So they say, look, this one does, you know, it does have a lesser safety rating, but you'll feel less bad if something goes wrong. So you go, oh, that's interesting. So then, okay, we got that. Then we got crash test smarties. These are the people who end up living, doing PhDs instead of having children and driving them to the prom. And they then start their own OnlyFans account and make $2,500 per week.
I thought it was per month. But per week, that's really good. Week.
It's really good money, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, wow. I mean, good on them.
Then we got the company that compresses drugs to froth cream. It's other various, you know, sort of nangs, but then putting other drugs in there because they say this is actually one of the best gases for frothing cream. We got Carney is the scariest ride of all. That's after, you know, somebody, you know, maybe they're at, you know, one of these carnivals and somebody's, you know, maybe one of the carnies is saying, hey, look,
do you want to try the really scary ride?
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe the guy's like, there's only one ride I haven't done. He goes, I wouldn't do that last one. Once you do that, there's only one more place to go beyond that. And that is the scariest ride of all, becoming a carny. And then he does, and then they become a carny, and it's a wild ride.
Yeah.
So funny. Trying to recreate the success of The Wedding Singer by finding other supporting cast member spoonerism names that describe the plot, like Barrymore, Mary Boar. You know what? Because while you were talking about that, my idea was going to be, let's see if we can make another movie by just changing, you know, one of the vowels in the titles into another vowel. So for some reason, I was going to be Wedang Singar, right?
Yeah. And then, yeah, let's see if we can.
And then, but, you know, you could make a movie that's called Wedang Singar. You know, it sounds like you could probably set it in...
Well, I mean, that's changing, you know, two vowels. Really, it would have to be the Wedang Singar.
No, it's... oh, yeah, I did. Sorry, I was trying to change all the I's into A's or the E's into A's, but I really messed it up.
Yeah, I mean, you could have the...
The Wedang Singar does sound like you're opening up like a, you know, a sandwich place in...
In India.
In Indonesia or something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Or... The Wadding Singar.
Singor?
Wadding.
Oh, no, Songer.
No, Alistair, this is getting worse. You're way off.
All right. Well, you know, in the Lawnmower Man, Troy Evans played Lieutenant Goodwin. Anyway.
Okay. So good.
And then we got Microwave Hand. And then we got Wedding Hand. So no, not Wedding Hand, but Microwave Hand.
Now,
all right, I'm gonna. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we'll do the song.
Yep.
Thank you so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank. We love that you did that. Keep an eye out and an ear out for Dabs, our new podcast. Two dads trying to get abs. Maybe we'll start it after my 38th birthday. So we've got 2 years, or I've got 2 years to get abs.
And then I've got a little bit less.
A little bit less than 2 years to get abs.
I think that's just enough time.
Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great. Thanks very much. You can check out the Discord. Have a bit of fun there. The link is in the show notes. You can also support us on Patreon. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Stupid Old Andy. He's at Alistair TB. We are at Two in Tank. Alistair, you were on Confessions of the Idiots recently.
Yeah, yeah. It turned out real fun. And it was great. me and Nick Mason and Sam Peterson, who remained the host of that show for the entirety of that show.
What a good guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it.
That's it from us.
Thank you so much.
You did it. Toodles. We love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.